one of the senior members of our movement. Back in 1993, I took note. It is particularly about Prabhupada's coming to the West. He had said that every devotee kind of favors a special pastime of Prabhupada. And this is his favorite pastime. It is written by His Holiness Bhakti Vikash Swami. I am simply fascinated by Prabhupada's having come to America. The bringing of Krishna consciousness to the West is probably the most amazing, unlikely, and glorious events in the history of the world. For so many long years, the West had developed a civilization based on ignorance, sin, and suffering. Then, for the first time in its history, Srila Prabhupada brought real and complete knowledge to the West. So-called Vedantists and yogis had come before him with Indianized editions of the same illusion which was afflicting the West. They had simply brought sense gratification in another guise. But at last, Srila Prabhupada brought the real thing, the nectar we were hankering for. Since the passing of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the idea of preaching in the West had all but been forgotten. However, Lord Chaitanya was constantly thinking about it, and all the previous acharyas were thinking about it. They anxiously thought, when will the day come when Mahaprabhu's prophecy will be fulfilled? How long will the world suffer without Lord Chaitanya's Prem Sankirtan? Then Prabhupada ventured forth, carrying the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the blessings of the acharyas as his baggage. Such boldness, such courage, such adventurous spirit, such lack of concern for personal well-being, such determination, such compassion, such fearlessness, and such faith in the protection of Krishna. Prabhupada's having come alone and unaccompanied demonstrated his mood of self-reliance, his get-on-with-the-job spirit, and his being in a class distinct from others. Even if Srila Prabhupada had been unsuccessful, his coming shows that he was in a different mood than any of the thousands of other Vaishnavas in India. All of us were going to hell, but it didn't seem to matter to anyone else. Most Vaishnavas were content with eating, sleeping, performing their own sadhana, and perhaps giving a few speeches here and there. But Prabhupada's heart was tortured with compassion. He begged his godbrothers to help him. But despite their having institutions, prestige, followers, and knowledge, none of them dared or cared to help. So Bhaktivedanta Swami waited no longer for any of them to make a move, but made his own instead. He was not the head of an institution. He had no support, manpower, or money. No one cared whether he lived or died. But I have to try anyway. My spiritual master has ordered. Even Lord Chaitanya expressed his inability to spread the Sankirtan movement alone. Even he, the Supreme Lord himself, had assistance. But Prabhupada had none. Hence, his going alone to the cold, unknown shores of the West is the most courageous act in the history of Vaishnavism. It demonstrates his complete fearlessness and faith in the protection of Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada got on that ship, no one took him seriously. They questioned, what will you, an old man, do in America? I will make the Americans chant Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy. Impossible. Even the Indians are not interested. So how will the Americans do? And Prabhupada later said that what he had accomplished far exceeded his expectations. But as he wrote on Boston Pier, by your mercy, Krishna, everything is possible. No one cared for him. But Prabhupada cared for everyone. Otherwise, why would he attempt the impossible? He did not even care that no one cared for him. He knew that Krishna cared for him, and he wanted everyone to care for Krishna. While crossing the ocean, Srila Prabhupada read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and preached to the crew. Then came two heart attacks. But Krishna came in a dream and said, don't worry, I'm rowing the boat. Prabhupada also wrote poems talking to Krishna. Then he landed and his American adventures began. Stepping ashore, an old learned Bengali sadhu, dressed in saffron-colored cloth, humbly enters America, in like a needle. The world would never be the same again. So it's 1966, and this old Bengali sadhu, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, walks among the jaded, faded, hair down, mind gone, wild beat generation on the streets of New York's Lower East Side. Prabhupada went among the fuzzheads, freaks, and hippies, refugees from a godless, greed-torn civilization, and presented the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. His contemporaries in Vrindavan would have been shocked. They would have had nothing to do with these dirty, irreverent maleches, that's for sure. But here he is, Bhaktivedanta Swami, down among the hippies, picking up gold from a filthy place, confident with his ching, 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 and Hare Krishna, giving the change all be difference, a revolution that even they could never have imagined. Srila Prabhupada so tolerantly lived with and even served the Western maleches, who out of ignorance constantly did things guaranteed to disturb any cultured Vaishnava. Devoid of refinement or any idea of Krishna consciousness other than the rudiments which they were gradually learning by Srila Prabhupada, so patiently teaching them, they nevertheless had faith in him. And Prabhupada had faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. Even the most fallen will be saved by the holy name. Therefore, he tolerated their uncouth behavior. He did not see American maleches. He saw jivas, servants of Krishna. He did not reject his followers for weakness or foolishness born of immaturity. Prabhupada demonstrated the efficacy of bhakti yoga in circumstances more adverse than any previous preachers of bhakti had ever faced. He had patience, extreme tolerance born of deep compassion for the fallen souls, and faith in the power of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada found something vital and real amidst the madness of hippie life. Permeating the confusion was a spiritual search, a dissatisfaction with the status quo, an endeavor for the mystical, for the truth beyond the humdrum. Like most other people, the hippies were not intrinsically bad, just misguided. They had seen through the nastiness of straight life and were looking for something better. Lacking proper guidance, they had turned down the blind alley of gross sense gratification. But for all the newness and euphoria of their crazy life, it was just as unfulfilling as the establishment they had already rejected. Swamiji, however, had something genuine. And he surely was not a straight. The hippies thrived on being different, but Prabhupada outdid them all. He had sharing, simplicity, color, joy, and love, all essential elements of the hippie counterculture, but he also brought substance, direction, knowledge, and purity. He had Krishna, and he had music. Prabhupada was all about music, kirtan. Music was the sacred beginning, middle, and end of hippie life. From the internationally famous bands to the street-side guitarists, music was an expression of being, of struggle, of lust, frustration, pain, hope, and longing. Music was both a message and a question, a quest for understanding and a plea to be understood. Swamiji's music was new. No one had ever played stuff like that. Every note, every word was magical, an intense mystical outpouring of the vital inner self. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simple rhythm, simple tune, again and again, over and over. Half an hour, 1 hour, more. Swami step, trance dance. This transcendental sound vibration is imported from the spiritual world. Through music and diligent concern, Srila Prabhupada did what everyone else had given up on. He reached the hearts of the hippies and gave them direction. Prabhupada was serious, and the more intelligent amongst the hippies gradually realized that he wanted them to follow him and also become serious about Krishna consciousness. Still, no one had any idea as to exactly how serious Prabhupada really was. The first New York devotees were shocked when Srila Prabhupada left for San Francisco, but Prabhupada had big plans. His magic worked again in San Francisco, and gradually it started working all over the world. Prabhupada spread his charm by sending his disciples here and there. They were young boys and girls, dropped out from everything, saved by Prabhupada from voluntary drug-induced brain destruction. They didn't know much about Krishna consciousness or about anything, but now they were different, no longer hippies, but happies. Srila Prabhupada had inspired a faith in them that made the Krishna magic work even without his personal presence, And by that faith, his disciples brought Guru and Krishna with them. And so the story unfolded. Srila Prabhupada strode across the globe and, like a great general, sent men here and there to spread the Krishna message. It is a great story whose chapters are still being written. All of Prabhupada's activities were amazing, yet those first days in America held a special sweetness and significance. None of us knows how intense was the struggle, nor how severe were the difficulties that Srila Prabhupada underwent for establishing the Krishna consciousness movement in the West. But Prabhupada knows, his Guru Maharaj knows, and Krishna knows. Let us all remember Srila Prabhupada's pastimes and thus become purified and happy. Let us remember his sacrifice so that we may not become selfish. Let us remember his tolerance that we may become tolerant. All glories to Srila Prabhupada's coming to the West.